Our Bibles open to Job chapter 7, which is our text for this evening. It is always good to be in the house of God at the close of the day, before we start a new week. And when we read Job chapter 7, is it not very depressing? I think Job chapter 7 is one of the most depressing chapters in the Bible. And after reading this chapter, you feel like, you know, the sky is going to fall down and the walls are closing in and you feel like you're sinking in the quicksand. There's no way out. Very depressing, very hopeless situation that you're in. And really, chapter 7 is a vivid picture of our life here on earth. Really, life here on earth is not easy at all. We face all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of troubles, all kinds of problems. And I wonder how many of us here look forward to tomorrow, to Monday. You know, you have Monday blues, right? You don't look forward to going back to work and going through the week. The weekend is always welcome, but the weekdays, we wish they will never come. And this is the picture that is painted for us here in chapter 7. Just look at verse 1. It says here, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling?" Our time here on earth is but a short time. And the number of our days are already fixed. We can hope to live for 70 years. That is generally the lifespan of men. As the Bible tells us in Psalm 90 verse 10. 70 years. 60 years and 10 plus 10. 70 years is the general lifespan of men. And because of modern medicine, of good hospitals and doctors, and by the grace of God, we may live up to 80. 70 years and 10. And if we have strength, you can add 10 more years, up to 80. And after 80, if we live more than 80 years, we are living on borrowed time. It is bonus. And in Singapore, we are told that, generally people will live beyond 70, 80 years. And so the government is taking care of how the elderly can be taken care of and provide them with facilities and centers whereby, you know, they can be taken care of. Well, we may expect to live that long if the Lord would tarry and the Lord gives us strength. Yet our days on earth is full of toil and labor, full of tears, isn't it? Full of pain. 70 years and 10. And is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? One day we will fly away. One day we will die. Everybody will face death. Well, there may be some who will not face death when Jesus comes back. And those who believe when Jesus comes back, who are still alive, remaining on earth, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But most of us, if not all of us, before Christ returns, will have to face death. And even when we live on earth, our days are very trying. Verses 2 and 3. As well as verse 4 tell us that. Look at verse 2. "As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work." A servant earnestly desireth the shadow. You wake up early in the morning to go to work. But what do you look forward to? You earnestly desireth the shadow, meaning the sunset. When you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you wish that the day would end soon. The sunset would come and time for you to go home, isn't it? I remember when I was in national service, how you have to drag your feet every day to go to the camp. And you wish the day would end very soon so that you can book out, you see. Or you go to camp and you dread it, and you look forward to the weekends. And if your weekends are burned, you have guard duty. Oh, you, how miserable you would feel, isn't it? That's how life is. Don't we feel that way? And this is what the writer here is describing. A servant earnestly desiring the shadow, the end of the day, when the sun sets, and hireling looketh for the reward of his work. Work is never a pleasure. What we look forward to is the paycheck, the salary that comes with it at the end. But we do not delight in all the toil and labor that goes on in our life. And then how about in the nighttime? And so it says here in verse 3 and 4, "So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day." The day already brings a whole lot of worries and anxieties. When we go to work, not only the work is difficult, but then the people will give you a lot of headache and heartaches, isn't it? You dread the work, you dread the people, whole lot of politics in the office, deadlines to meet, and sometimes the deadlines may be very unreasonable deadlines. Certain work may require this amount of time, but because we are in a society that is so pressurizing, a pressure cooker society, everything must be done very quickly, instantaneously. And so what needs to be done and a certain amount of time is needed is cut short, and you have a deadline to keep, and you're under pressure, under stress. And then at night, when we go back home, when we sleep, we worry about the next day, isn't it? We find no rest. We toss, we turn. Whole lot of anxiety. Very stressful at day and at night. And so, what should we do? Is there no solution? Is there no comfort, no consolation, no encouragement? For those of us who are believers, we have a solution. We have an answer from the Lord and from His Word. And you know, you can only overcome all these difficulties and problems and troubles that come with this life in this sin-cursed world among sinful people. We ourselves also are very weak and very frail. And we can only overcome all these things if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our Master. He is our Lord. And He gives us the strength. And we read His Word. We draw strength and wisdom and grace from His Word. And so I'm going to quote a few passages. And these are golden verses which you ought to take to heart and commit them to memory. And hide God's Word in your heart so that you will not sin against Him. You turn to Matthew chapter 6. So in the midst of such depressing circumstances, at work or at school, how should we order our mind and our heart? The Lord knows that we go through all these things. The Lord understands. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself went through 33 and a half years of life on this earth. The same sinful, wicked, pressurizing, stressful world that we live in. And He understands what we go through, and He tells us what we need to succeed, to be victorious, to overcome all these things in our life. And the solution is really very simple. Many a time we look at the horizontal circumstances that surround us, and we are overwhelmed by them. But the Lord tells us to look vertical, look upwards. And in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 33 and 34, it says here, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All the things that you need, food to eat, clothes to wear, a roof over your head, All these things the Lord will provide for you. As much as the Lord provide for the birds in the, you know, in the fields. The birds, they don't have a full-time occupation or work. They don't clock in and clock out. But yet, the Lord feeds them and provides for them. Somehow, they survive. Somehow, they find food. And the Lord provides for even the sparrows, which are unclean birds. Such small creatures. How much more He will take care of us? We who are the apex of His creation. We who are made in the image of God. We who are His children. Are we not more precious than the sparrows? Surely God will feed us. Surely God will clothe us. Surely God will, you know, have a place for us to take shelter. Our needs are His worries. Let God worry about our needs. Food, clothing, lodging. Let Him worry about that. He knows how to take care of us. Many a time, we worry on our own instead of trusting the Lord. We should cast all our worries on Him. Let Him worry. That is His department to take care of our physical needs. What is our responsibility? What should we worry for? God tells us our responsibility is to worry about our spiritual condition. That we are spiritually in tune with Him all the time. And to seek Him first. Put Him in first place in our lives. The highest priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let God worry about our physical needs. What we want to worry about, and what God wants us to worry about, is our spiritual condition. And that is our responsibility. To get right with God. To seek Him first. And of course, you can only seek Him and seek Him first if you believe on Him. And if anyone here is still not born again, still not a child of God, still outside His kingdom, not part of His family, may I plead with you, belong to Him, be part of His family, be a citizen of His kingdom right now. And God, who is the governor, the controller of this world, He knows how to take care of all our physical needs. He wants us to seek Him first. And for us who are believers, how He wants us to mature spiritually in our faith and walk with Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, the next day, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we live day by day. There may be worries and anxieties and difficulties. Tackle them day by day. Tackle them with God's wisdom. Tackle them with God's grace by praying to the Lord. At work or at school, when you encounter any problems, whether work problem or relationship problem, be prayerful. Pray immediately. And you can pray silently in your heart. Lord, I have this problem. I have this difficulty. And I do not know how to solve it. Please help me. And you'd be surprised how the Lord can give you wisdom. Or how the Lord can give you an answer from somewhere. Somehow. And then quickly the problem is solved. The relationship is healed, and things go smoothly. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Always doing good things and right things, and then leaving the rest to Him to provide for all our needs, solutions, and answers to our problems and our difficulties in life. So, without Christ, our life would be very depressing and very miserable. But with Christ, it can be an adventure, it can be very exciting as we seek the Lord, pray to Him, and see how He answers our prayers and intervenes in our lives and takes control, and we see Him at work, and we see Him answering our prayers and leading us in the right way. Oh, what an exciting life it would be when you walk close with the Lord and you find the Lord being present with you, you see. But many a time we forget the Lord. And when we forget the Lord, that's why our life is so miserable, so burdensome, so difficult and so hard, isn't it? And then in Psalm 127, let's look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 2. Well, maybe we can read from verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Yes, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, work late into the night, burn the midnight oil. Those of you who are students, sometimes you don't get to go to sleep, and because tomorrow is exam, and then you study and study and trying to cram everything in, and it's all in vain, because when you get to school and the exam hall, you look at the paper, suddenly everything goes blank. All you have studied, you have forgotten. You cannot answer the question. In vain do we rise up early and sit up late into the night to eat the bread of sorrows. Only if we will trust in the Lord, only if we will seek His help, and when we do all our work and live our life with the Lord, then He will give His beloved sleep. Then we will sleep well at night. And so I remember in those days when I was in secondary school, in secondary four, preparing for the GCO level exams. And how I thank the Lord that He brought me back to Himself after 3 years of backsliding. At that time, I wasn't a good student. I failed in many of my subjects. And already the GCO level was coming just round the corner. And so I repented of my sins, got right with God, went back to church, serve the Lord, study His Word as much as I can, take part in all the activities, became very active in church, will not miss prayer meetings, fellowship meetings, serve in the choir, go for Sunday school, make sure I attend church meetings, church worship services, and even if the exam was just round the corner or tomorrow, will not miss any of these things. And time for the Lord is time for the Lord. And then I prayed to the Lord, as I seek You first and put You first in my life, please help me. I'm weak in so many subjects. I cannot even smell a, you know, junior college education with the points that I accumulated, the points that I have, having failed so many subjects in my midterm. Prelims are coming. The end of the final exams are coming to Cambridge. And so the Lord helped by His grace. And I didn't skip any prayer meeting, any fellowship meeting, a worship service, put God first, and then the Lord gives you that heightened, you know, concentration, that energy and the strength, the understanding, so that when you read once, you can understand and remember. And then I don't have to keep late nights. Every day I have a good night's rest, so that I can go to school the next day fresh and ready for the exam. No need to cram. The Lord helps. The Lord gives strength. And by the grace of God, I did well enough to further my studies in JC. It is the Lord's doing. And if we put the Lord first in our lives, He grants His beloved sleep. We will not worry. We cast all our cares and worries upon Him. Let Him worry for us. But we do what is right and pleasing in His sight. We worry about that. And allow the Lord to worry for us in providing for all our needs. You turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. And here Peter tells us, says here, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." God says what he means. He cares for you. Sometimes we take God's word lightly. Does he really care for me? I mean, he's so far away. He's Almighty God. I'm nobody. I'm just this tiny little thing on earth. And who am I? I'm also not very obedient to him. Will he really take care of me? Well, we have to confess our sins. We have to confess that we have been proud. We want to do things our way, trust in our own strength. But when we humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge that he's all powerful, "Lord, I need you every day." And then when we cast all our cares upon him, and he indeed cares for us, he knows how to provide for all our needs and grant us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to solve our problems and our difficulties in life. And in depressing moments and times, God's word is your source of comfort and confidence. Read the Psalms, 150 of them, written from the heart. And when we read the Psalms, like what my teacher, Reverend Toh, says, is a balm. The Psalms are a balm to our soul. Read the Psalms. Sometimes you think, oh, you're going to lose your mind already, go insane with all the troubles in life. You may even think of suicide. That's a very, very poisonous thought that Satan plants into our mind to take our own life. And when you have such depressing, suicidal thoughts, what should you do? Immediately you go to the Psalms. You read, you open the Psalms, and wherever, you know, psalm that you lay your eyes upon, you read that psalm. And then read until the end, the last psalm, and go back to the first psalm and read again and again. And you will find healing. Healing for your mind and for your heart. The Psalms. Read the Psalms, for it is a balm to our souls. And then verse 5. When we look at our body, our flesh, we find it so weak and so frail, isn't it? Verse 5 says, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clots of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome." Yes, our body is a very, very weak body, made of clay, can be broken very easily, and we are plagued with all kinds of sicknesses and disease. In fact, right now I'm not feeling too well. We fall sick very easily, don't we? And, you know, and we are told, well, after you reach 40 years old, 40 years and above, you better watch your body, because your body begins to slow down and begin to break down. And is it not so? Well, I'm past 40 already. I'm 43. Very soon, 44. And I'm beginning to experience the breaking down of my body. Now my eyesight is not so good. Now long-sightedness, right? We suffer long-sightedness. Now when I read, I have to really stand back, all right, to read the words. If I can't read, I have to take off my spectacles, go closely and read. Long-sightedness. The eyes grow weaker, grow dimmer. And then the teeth all get loose and will drop out. Recently, I had to have two teeth extracted, two of my wisdom teeth extracted, so I have less teeth now. Well, as the years go by, I'm going to expect my teeth to get less and less. Can't be helped. Our body degenerate. Our body will decay and become weaker. And not only that, we may have heart trouble, and if we don't take care of our diet, we get obese, we suffer the danger of getting diabetes, high blood pressure, all kinds of things, and the joints of our bones start aching, or all kinds of aches and pains come. And then by and by you'll find, you have to see more and more of the doctor, more and more of the hospital. The doctors will become your best friend, and then the hospitals will be like your second home. Isn't it depressing? And that's what the psalmist says, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clots of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome." And then we are plagued with all kinds of fears, right? We fear of getting this disease, getting that disease. And then sometimes we go to an extreme in taking care of our health, all kinds of vitamins and pills that we take. In the end, it's still the same. We don't get younger, get older and older, and diseases come. And what's the solution? Is there no good news? Indeed, there is. And how we thank the Lord that He not only saved our souls, He also saved our bodies. Please don't think that when Jesus died on the cross, He only died for our sins, to save us from our sins and to save our spirit. The human being is made of two parts, body and soul, or the spirit. And when Jesus died for our sins on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day, Jesus is saving our whole person, our whole being, our body as well as our soul. And so when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, our sins are all forgiven, past, present, and future. There'll be no more judgment to come. Our sins are all washed away by the blood of Christ. And we are made clean. And our body, yes, it will degenerate. One day it will return to the dust. But the good news is this, as Jesus rose from the dead, bodily, He was flesh and bones, and we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And one day there will be the resurrection too. We will be raised from the dead. Those of our loved ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we bury them, and we bury them with this blessed hope. When Jesus comes back, their graves will be opened and they'll be raised up bodily. And then we who are alive and remain when Jesus returns will be raptured, caught up suddenly to meet the Lord in the air. And when we meet the Lord in the air and we see the Lord at the time of the rapture and resurrection, we will not be spirit. We will be body. We will have a body, a glorified body, a supernatural body of flesh and bones. And of course, our spirit within us, totally pure and perfected, no more sin. Body and soul perfected at the coming of Christ on the last day. And this body that we will have will no longer be hungry or thirsty, no more pain, no more disease, no more sicknesses, no more limitations. If we want to travel from one place to another, we have to take the MRT, we have to take the bus, we have to take time. In future, this resurrected body and glorified body that we have can go through walls, can be at one place at this time, and the next second, if you want to be another place, it can be a faraway place, you can just disappear and appear in that place just like this. That's the kind of body that we will have. And so as we live our lives here on earth, when we get sick, when we contract a disease, when we find our physical body failing us and we suffer a lot of pain, think of the resurrected body. Think of the body that we will have. And this body that we will have will be eternal, everlasting. We'll live on and we'll never die. And this body that we have, yes, it will only last for 70, 80, or slightly more years. And that's a short time compared to eternity, forever and ever. Think of that. And I think when we think of that and how the Lord has saved our bodies, and of course we can pray to the Lord, Lord, I'm now sick and tired. I have this disease. Can you please heal me? And you pray for the Lord to heal you. The Lord can heal you. Whether through medicine, to the doctors, or He can heal us also miraculously according to His will. He can do that. But ultimately, our mind must focus on things above, on the resurrection, a glorified body that we will have. And then we will find great comfort and encouragement in God our Savior, who saved not only our spirit, but also our bodies. And then verses 6 to 9 tells us, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, now spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind, mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down the grave shall come up no more. And yes, our life is very short, right? Like a weaver's shuttle, it comes and it goes, like a vapor. And some of us may not even live up to 70 or 80 years old. We may die in our youth. And there's such a thing as sudden death syndrome. Have you heard of sudden death syndrome? Without any warning, suddenly you just drop dead. You may die in your sleep. Your heart stop beating while you're sleeping. And then you never wake up. And there are those who go for their exercises or go for their runs. After they go for a jog, they just drop dead after jogging. There's a recent case of an army officer, very fit, fighting fit. And after finishing the marathon, he just collapsed and died. And recently a young triathlete also suffered the same thing. Death can come at any moment. Just like this, isn't it? And yes, you know, for those of us without the Lord Jesus Christ, we fear death. Because there's a whole lot of uncertainty. Where will I go after I die? And verses 6 to 9 describe someone who has not the Lord Jesus Christ, who has no hope. But we who have hope are very certain that when we die, it's not the end. We'll go straight to heaven, guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ, for He has saved us from our sins. So we are not afraid to die. The sting of death has been removed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered death, you see. And so while we live our time here on earth, since life is so short, life can just run away, right, from us, and we fly away, and now we also do not know how long we will live. We may die tomorrow. I may die tomorrow. Who knows? Or even tonight. So what should we do? Knowing all these things, we should therefore redeem the time, because the days are evil. Every moment of every day, see how I can worship the Lord and serve the Lord. Make my life count for the Lord. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. And for you who come to the sunset gospel hour, week after week, keeping the Lord's day holy, seeking the Lord, you are redeeming the time. You're seeking for answers. You're seeking for solutions. You're seeking for knowledge and wisdom from the Lord. Yes, it is only found in His Word. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the preached Word of God. And surely the Lord has a blessing for each one of us when we meet with Him and seek Him. And I'm sure you'll leave this place with much joy and peace. If you only obey His Word and cast your care upon Him, and then you'll sleep well tonight. You'll sleep well tonight. And tomorrow, you have no worries, no fears. And you go with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can conquer every fear, every trouble, every difficulty, isn't it? And then verses 10 onwards, verse 10 says here, he shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. Well, when we finally go to the grave, how easily we are forgotten, isn't it? Out of sight, out of mind. And that is the world. Out of sight, out of mind. People so easily forget us. And we are like people. Yes, some people may remember us when things are going well, when we are rich and prosperous, but when we become poor, we are forgotten, isn't it? And sometimes, yes, people don't even remember that we ever existed. Out of sight, out of mind. Yes, we are forgotten. Human beings are extremely forgetful people. We forget. And we not only forget, we are unfaithful. Even to loved ones and to friends. And sometimes for the sake of self-preservation, self-protection, we often sell our friends away and betray one another, don't we? Well, that is what life is all about here on earth, in this sinful and wicked and evil world. But our comfort is this: God never forgets. God always remembers those who belong to Him. Parents may forsake us, children may neglect us, and friends may desert us. But one thing we do know is God always remembers, because He is our covenant God. He has made many promises to those who belong to Him. And He never forgets His words. He never forgets His promises. We often at times forget the commandments of the Lord, even His promises. But God never forgets. He's always faithful. And once we belong to Him, He will make sure He will keep His promises. And He will save us even to the very end. He will never, never forget our name. Many a time I forget the names of the members in the church. Even my students, I have a bad memory. We are forgetful people. But God has a perfect memory. He never forgets. He knows every one of our names in full. And our names, if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, are written with the blood of the Lamb in the Lamb's book of life. And never to be erased. He remembers our names. He remembers every one of us. Just like the thief on the cross. You know, the one thief on the cross, both thieves reviled Jesus at first, but one thief repented and later on said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? Jesus immediately said to him, "Yes, today you will be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me." Yes, God, as much as God remembers the thief on the cross who just a moment ago reviled him, but when he confessed his sin and confessed the Lord remembered him. And he will be with the Lord in paradise. Just like this. And for those of us, not like the thief, we believe on him. You know, while there's still time, not at the final hours, right now we are believing much more. All the more he will remember us. If he remembers the thief on the cross, surely he will remember us who believe on him right now. He remembers. And the Lord knows. He knows all things. And I will urge you to read the testimony and the memoirs of Dr. Arthur E. Steele in the latest issue of The Burning Bush, a special edition devoted to Dr. Steele, his testimonies and memoirs of how the Lord had blessed him in his life. You see the power of God and the omniscience of God. And one favorite statement of Dr. Steele is, "The Lord knows, the Lord knows." And he remembers how to deliver us from trouble. And there are many, many miracles in the life of Dr. Steele, providentially how the Lord has provided for him. How the Lord had used him to found the Clearwater Christian College. In many, many mysterious and remarkable, wonderful ways that surpasses our imagination, if the Lord were to use us. So I would urge you, I'm sure the copies are available, get a hold of the Burning Bush and read the wonderful testimony of our living God, who is so much a part of our lives. The Lord knows, the Lord remembers. And so how should we respond to this God? How should we respond to the life that we now live on this earth? Well, look at verse 11. It says here, "Therefore I will not refrain from my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Now, the Lord doesn't want us to respond in this way. This is a wrong response to the troubles and the difficulties of life. Okay? To have a bitter spirit against God and to complain against Him and to be angry with Him. Never do that. That is a wrong response over here. And in verse 16 we read, "I loathe it. I will not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity." So we despise this life. And say, I really absolutely hate this life. So let me alone. My days are vanity, full of meaninglessness. Let me take my life and end it all. Well, if we think like this, it's a wrong response. Don't think like this. You know, the life that God has given to us here on earth, although it is difficult, yet we can fulfill His purpose. What is the chief end of man? Is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We can enjoy the Lord. We enjoy the Lord by first what? Seeking Him first. You see, glorifying Him. Then we'll enjoy Him in our life here on earth. For the Lord has come to give us life and life more abundantly here on earth. And eternal life forevermore when He returns. And we Christians should know what living is all about. True living. The most happy people on earth will be the Christian. For we know how to live our life in the midst of all the distressing circumstances that plague us. But we must not respond in this way, right? In verse 11, verse 16, how should we respond? Look at verse 20. It says here, we should respond humbly before the Lord and confess to the Lord, "I have sinned." We humble ourselves. "I have sinned, O Lord. What shall I do unto Thee? O Thou preserver of men." Lord, You can preserve my life. And I now commit my life into Your hands. "Why hast Thou set me as a mark against Thee, so that I am a burden to myself? Lord, help me, and pardon my transgression, and take away my iniquity." And when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let us approach the throne of grace boldly to find grace and help in time of need. The Lord is always there, ready to help us. So, yes, I will not live always. I will not live always if I am without the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will live always and all the way if I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Abundant life right now, and eternal life when the Lord comes back, or when the Lord calls me home. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. And surely we can draw much strength, grace, wisdom, and knowledge from Thy Word. We may find healing to our mind and to our heart, even to our bodies. So help us, Lord, we pray. And bless everyone here this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen.